Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Let's go to Chris in Fremont. Hi, Chris. Thanks for calling, man. What's up?
What's going on, gentlemen? How you doing? I could sit here on the line and have a nuanced conversation for an hour on all my opinions and thoughts on the Niners, but I'll try to keep it dialed. The question about Brock, I do think Brock is going to flourish in the sense that he is not going to completely flop and fall on his face. He's not going to go out there sans weapons and just turn into what Caleb Williams has looked like in the first 2 weeks of his NFL career. He's gonna do what Brock does. He's gonna go through his read. He's gonna hit open guys. I think we'll be fine. As opposed to being reactionary to the first 2 weeks of the season, which this happens every year. Good teams lose bad games. Bad teams beat good teams. But whatever. I want to talk about something that we have a little bit more sample size, and that is the lack of, you know, we got the stars. You got Kittle. You got Debo. You got Ayuk. But let me read the names for you. Trey Sermon. Remember him?
Yep.
That was a third-round pick. Charlie Warner, sixth-round pick. You know, you got, who else we get? We got Danny Gray, third-round pick. Tyrion Davis Price, third-round pick. Who else? You got Cameron Latu, third-round pick. He's not on the team anymore. Braden Willis, seventh-round pick. Ronnie Bell. You got all these guys that you're wasting draft capital on. And then, you know, I understand you can't talk about the situation with Pearsall. He hasn't been able to get on the field. We understand that. But are you telling me that you're drafting a guy like Jacob Cowan, you like the film on tape, and are you telling me you're such a genius and your offense is so sophisticated that you can't scheme up a play for a new player you drafted? You drafted Isaac Garendo in, what, the fourth or fifth? You can't give him the ball one time? So all this stuff about Kyle being a genius, and what, you're drafting players that aren't going to learn your system until week 10? Go out and scheme up a play. He's reminding me of Andy Reid in Philadelphia. Now look at Andy Reid. He's drawing up plays for Xavier Worthy. He's getting his playmakers into space. He is simplifying things for his players. And Kyle refuses to do that. And another note, you want to talk about being a smash football team? You want to talk about physically dominating and imposing your will on the other team, right? You want to be that team? Why are we passing on fourth and two? Why is it that every single situation where you can impose your will and be the physically dominating team that you sell your fan base to be, you get so in your head that, oh, everybody knows we're running the ball. Oh, let me do a pass play. Oh, you know what? Let me do gimmicky little pitch to Debo. I'm so worried that Jordan Mason isn't going to be able to pick up 1 yard. And that is leading to guys getting hurt. It's leading to CMC having an overuse injury. Debo got 8 carries for 23 yards in week one. You know how that turned out. He's banged up already. And he's out for multiple weeks. So this, you know, I'm sorry. Yeah, I think Brock's going to be fine. But I think this is a bigger indictment on Kyle and John and their lack of ability to hit offensive playmakers and use them in the draft.
Thank you, Chris. Very entertaining.
Yeah.
Before we react, you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, an Odyssey sports station, always live on the free Odyssey app, Twitch and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer. What say you?
Well, I mean, I thought we could take turns on each of his points.
So you go first.
Christian McCaffrey's injury was not one of overuse. When he got hurt, he played the entire Super Bowl, and then he had a little bit of a strained calf in the offseason, and it didn't get better. I don't think that he got hurt due to overuse.
I've learned that all injuries are Kyle's fault, but go ahead.
Well, I've been one to point the blame at Kyle when appropriate. This one doesn't feel like it's blame worthy. Jacob Cowing, Isaac Garendo is a good example. Garendo was hurt in camp and he missed a couple of weeks.
First play.
He's behind schedule.
Yep.
And if you watched the game, as I have now twice, and you watch his one carry, he played one snap, and it did not look like he was ready to play professional football. He kind of tippy-toed to the line of scrimmage, and he got absolutely walloped and knocked back, and Kyle didn't feel like he was ready to be out there. Now, Jacob Cowing, that becomes an interesting name. He played zero snaps on offense. He played three snaps on special teams. On one of those snaps, he muffed the football. So I'm not ready to say it was a bad draft pick, but I'm here to say that it doesn't feel like Jacob Cowing is ready to be out there and be relied upon.
I'll never understand it. And I know.
Nicola was good at naming all the missed draft picks, but he didn't mention the hits.
Thank you.
And that's where you get triggered.
I really do. Because what
you really do.
Well, what you just did to the 49ers, every fan in every city in the NFL can do. Like, that's all. I can't take away from you that they took Ty Davis Price and Trey Sermon in the third round. You're right. There's not a damn thing any of us can do about that. What you can do, though, you can call any NFL fan of another team and ask them, list all the messed up draft picks that we've done for the last 6 years, and you will get a list. You will get a list. What not every NFL fan can do, though, is go, but Kittle, Warner, Greenlaw, Debo, all of those things came. Oh, sorry, Brock Purdy, none of which came out of the first round.
Jordan Mason,
undrafted.
An undrafted Mason, leading the league in carries right now.
So that's point one. Point two, your Andy Reid comp was unfair, and you damn well know it. You damn well know it, because the comp you just made is that Kyle's reminding you of Andy Reid because Andy in Philadelphia didn't simplify things and draw up plays for his players, his draft picks, and that led to him getting fired. And now, in Kansas City, Andy has learned to simplify things, and he draws up plays for Xavier Worthy. He's simplified things, and that's why the Chiefs are good. I can't think of any other stuff that's different for Andy in Kansas City than it is in Philadelphia. Can you? Except for one. I forgot. He has Mahomes.
Ah.
And that's why Andy is suddenly brilliant. And yes, they all draw plays for their players. The 49ers win 75% of the games they play. And they have one of the most prolific offenses in the entire NFL. Go look at the scoring numbers from last year. So I can't take your takeaway from you. I can't make you like Kyle Shanahan. I can simply state I'll never get it. I'll never understand the view. You're allowed to have any that you want. And if you hate the guy, hate him. If you want to decide every time the Niners lose a game that Kyle is a dunderhead, go right ahead. I'm free to never understand it. The perspective that I'm only going to look at the things that go wrong and totally ignore the much larger sample of things that go right. That's just me. I'll never get it. Never, ever, ever.
But, and I look at win totals and the fact that they've been double digits the last 3 years for me indicates that he's probably doing more right than he is doing wrong. I will say this, though, as we begin to think about Sunday and a Ram game with no McCaffrey and no Debo, this becomes, as much as it is a Brock Purdy game, where, okay, Brock, you've got an undrafted first-time starter at running back. I know he has two games under his belt, but you've got a Pro Bowl tight end. You've got a wide receiver, Brandon Ayuk, who played 87% of the snaps, so he should be ready to take on even more of a load. He played 61 snaps on Sunday, yesterday, so Ayuk should be excuse-free. He's had two games. Go out there, Brandon. Get open and dominate. Kittle is a tough cover himself. Jordan Mason's been unbelievable, over 100 yards in his two games. Beyond that, this one feels to me like it's got to be a Kyle Shanahan game. How can you use the others, Juszczyk, Bell.
For sure.
And Conley and Saubert and the rest of them. How are you going to get these guys to replicate what you're missing from Debo and Christian?
That's kind of that's what I'm getting at. We make these games too much about individuals. Why isn't Kittle involved? Or Brandon now has to act like a $30 million receiver. Or this, that, and the other. The Niners need to play well. Kyle needs to call good plays. The players need to execute them well. And no matter who the hell the receiver or the running back is, they've got to get open. And then Brock needs to be provided time. And then he needs to make good decisions and deliver accurate balls on time. You know what I mean? I know there's no like sports radio point in there. I get that. There's nothing quotable in there. But we make it way too much about each individual on the field. And after every game, whether they're a dub or an L. And now they're good or they suck. I didn't really see any of that yesterday. I've said this a few times, there's not one position group, not one group of coaches on the 49ers sideline that can say they nailed it. There's Fred. And then there were other players who played well.
Yeah, Jordan.
Jordan Mason.
Debo, I thought Nick played well, Nick personally. Played well,
right? Debo Samuel.
Sure.
Like, there are guys that played well, sure, did good things. But there's no group, not Brock, not Kyle, not Nick Sorensen, not the pass rush, not the secondary, not the offensive line. Nobody can be like, we beat our opponent today. None of you.
None of them.
So you lose.
Exactly. But you barely lost. Not barely, but the score made it look closer than it actually was. I was just looking back at the end sequence to see if I could pinpoint where Debo got hurt. He had a catch right before the 2-minute warning where he goes over the middle, catches it. He gets tackled by two or three guys and he goes down. Didn't look that dramatic. The very next play, there was a penalty, and after that, the penalty, it was a false start, or it was a dead ball foul, and he immediately took a knee, and then that was it. Debo went to the sideline, Clearly he hurt the calf on that last catch that he had in the red zone.
Will Brock Purdy and the Niners flounder or flourish? You get at least 2 weeks, at least, without Debo Samuel and without Christian McCaffrey. 888-957-9570 is the number. We're sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts, and there is more from Kyle Shanahan's conference call to share with you, and we will do that coming up next on Willard and Dibs.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast. Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
I mean, I don't want to call it the panic meter because I don't know that anybody, like, you're 1-1. But if you're just joining us, Obviously, you know Christian McCaffrey's on IR. Now Deebo Samuel is going to miss at least the next 2 weeks with a calf strain. So, how worried are you? 888-957-9570. How worried are you? We also asked, and there's a Twitter poll up, with 2 weeks of no Christian and no Deebo, do you think Brock Purdy will flounder or flourish? And right now, and we're still in the early stages of voting, Dibs.
The nascent stages, yeah.
Yeah, but right now it's at a 60-40 clip in favor of flourish over flounder, which was both of our answers as well.
Yeah, and I honestly, the things that are in place that help Brock Purdy be good are still mostly in place. You still have a good running attack. Jordan Mason is number one in the league in rush attempts right now. He's got 48 attempts. No one has more than that, which shows me that at least you're committed to running the ball. What, Mark? What's so funny?
Well, I'm laughing because you actually came in here today, and you were a little hot at the idea of and I'll leave names out of it, but others saying, why did you not give the ball to Jordan Mason more?
Right.
And he's leading the league in carries.
Thank you. And this is where...
So just that stat, I didn't know that. That made me laugh.
I just looked at it earlier. He's got 48. Okay. And Josh Jacobs, shout out my fantasy team, he's got 48. Ramondre Stevenson, who we'll see in a couple of weeks, he's got 46. And yeah, nobody else is even close. Saquon's got 24. So if he gets 25 tonight, he'll be the leader in the NFL in total carries from scrimmage. So my point is, if you're Brock Purdy and you're wondering about flounder or flourish, Shanahan in the laminated play sheet, intact. Kittle, still there. Trent Williams, still there. Dominic Pooney, still there. Brandon Ayuk, hopefully rounding into shape.
I mean, if what you're saying is the team as a whole does not get a built-in excuse on this, you're right.
And Brock Purdy doesn't get a built-in excuse.
Nobody does.
That's
nobody
my point.
This is part of the deal. You hope it's not this big of a name. You hope it's not IR. You hope it's not this early in the season, but it is. You're going to have to play some games without your people. You know, the Packers went out there without the quarterback yesterday, won a football game. You know what I mean? The Rams, who you're going to see this weekend, like they're licking their wounds too. Nobody's going to, oh boy, the Niners are banged up. Well, the Rams literally have lost the two people everybody cares about long term. They're not missing a couple weeks. They're missing a truckload of weeks. Puka's on IR, and did McVay do the IR thing? We're considering IR. Didn't he do that?
He said it's a consideration.
And then he's going on IR. Like
Jordan Love was questionable yesterday at about 9 a.m.
They downgraded him to doubtful before the game.
Of course they did.
They downgraded it down. He wasn't playing.
Anybody, raise your hand in the room or in the audience if you thought Deebo Samuel was going to play 17 games this year.
Oh, nobody.
Now,
I just hope it wouldn't be this soon.
Raise your hand if you thought that he would play 15 games.
That's my hope. That's always my baseline for him.
For me, it's...
Miss two.
Right.
I figure I'm going to give you two. You're going to miss two.
An easy two, for sure.
And we've already got him.
Well, the fact that it's the same two, at least, that McCaffrey is missing, that is unfortunate. But again, you've talked about it before as it pertains to when Brock Purdy gets those millions... Brockster's millions. You
coming up.
I love that, and yep. I look forward to seeing
coming
where
up.
The number goes.
In about a half hour.
You would hope that you could draft well enough around him to mitigate the fact that he's going to make so much money that you might lose some of these guys. And well, it turns out you're going to have to find some help earlier than you thought with either Cowing or Conley or Garendo or Salbert, or whoever it's going to be, Ronnie Bell. Some of these guys are going to have to now step up. Juwan Jennings is probably going to be your starting wide receiver in the Deebo spot, and you're going to have to find a way to make this work.
Yeah, Of course, this is what you got to do. Like, if you're a good football team, you can't be, and by the way, very few are, you can't be reliant on one person, unless that person's your quarterback. I think that's the way I know we've talked about this in different ways in recent months. That's kind of the way I view this whole thing. Go to the Jets last year, play four. Your expectations changed. Why? Because there's a quarterback.
Quarterback.
But if it was Breece Hall, you'd be like, oh, tell me more about this Braylon Allen guy who scored a couple touchdowns yesterday. Let's take a look. You know, Jordan Mason. Okay, 200-yard games. You can still function. you can function. You start losing a bunch of them, worries you a little bit. But no, like the 49ers have enough talent to still go win football games. No question in my mind. I don't know that the Rams do. I really don't. Like, they're so based on those two guys and then giving Stafford time, and their offensive line is also banged up and not performing. So if you've got no O-line and both star receivers are out, yeah, you're going to stink. You're going to stink.
Yesterday was a bit of an alarm, and I don't want to get too deep into the Rams, but the fact that it was whop, 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 and you know Arizona put it on you so fast.
It was 21-0 before you even got...
Before Cooper Kupp got hurt,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah.
It was already
for sure
21-0. And
for sure.
That one got away from him in a hurry. But yeah, the Niners are going to have to find different ways to go about moving the ball on offense, because the McCaffrey two-way threat, not around, and the Debo two-way threat, not around. So now you become more of a good old-fashioned ordinary offense. Right? You don't have like the pre-snap motion and the eye candy and, oh, look, Debo's in the backfield. McCaffrey's split out left.
Well,
now you're more of like just a good old-fashioned football team.
That, and I guess, is this two words or three? Pre-snap motion. I guess that's two words. One of them being hyphenated.
I'll allow it.
Is that accurate?
Sure.
All right. That's really what I think you lose here. That's what you lose.
That eye candy.
Yeah. And that's a big deal. In a Shanahan system, you can call it a weakness if you want. It's just taking away a good portion of what makes his play calling so special, so I'm told. Like, if you're defending against it, that's what makes it so hard. And they're going to not have, like, it's not like they will not have motion anymore, but it's not, as you're putting it, eye candy. It's not as frightening when those matchup difficulties that are caused by those two players are not there.
It's positionless football. And think about it from a defensive coordinator standpoint. When, you know, you have a huddle and you've got McCaffrey and Debo, Kittle and Juszczyk, and Brandon Ayuk as your five eligibles, so to speak. Defensively, you don't know what they're going to do. It might be Juszczyk and Kittle on the line. It might be McCaffrey out wide with Debo in the backfield. It could be any number of those combinations. When you don't have McCaffrey and you don't have Debo, and now you've got Juwan Jennings, well, he's probably not going to be a running back. The only time he was last year was by accident, and that was a disaster.
Right.
You're probably not going to throw to Salbert a lot, although they did a couple of times yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to go jet sweep to Kittle. Ayuk doesn't run the ball much, so even just by formation, you become much more simplistic to defend against, because in the huddle, if you recognize who the five eligibles are, you pretty much know what they're all going to be doing, right?
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, my worry now is also for more injuries.
Oh, like, boy.
Well, but that's
there
the thing.
Is.
Well, you're losing your depth. Your depth is being challenged, and it's like, you know, what happens next? I mean, one of the scariest things now, no one would have thought of this a while ago, what if Jordan gets hurt? Like, you're literally saying here, you saw Garendo have one carry. You didn't like the way it looked. I don't know who they feel like they can trust. It's a very young backfield now, like incredibly young. Well, what happens if, like, he's a running back and he's leading the league in carries? You don't think that guy could twist an ankle or something like that?
Especially the way he runs.
Yeah. So, like,
he's like baby Marshawn.
That's the worry now, is that you're quickly getting into a spot where your depth is already being used and you don't have any more of it. And so that, I like, my worry meter, it's not all the way up, but yeah, there's some. Like, this is not good.
Right. My worry meter would be probably at a 7.5, except for...
Is it a scale of 10 or 100?
10.
Okay, just
1
checking.
To 10.
Okay.
1 to 10.
I'll put it at a 6.
I was going to say it would be a 7.5, but the Rams are banged up, and the Patriots, I don't think, are that daunting. Because those are the two games upcoming, well, I would have it at about a 6.
Yeah, I looked at the other side of the ball here. You know what I mean? Like, the defense needs to be better than it was yesterday. And those are two teams that I feel like the defense, with no star receivers on the Rams and no quarterback to speak of on the Patriots, the defense should be able to do some things. But they faced a last year's backup quarterback yesterday, and he did some good things. So, Bob in the city, is on Willard and Dibbs. 888-957-9570. Where's your worry meter with the news that Debo is now out a couple of weeks? Hi, Bob. Thanks for calling.
Hey, guys. Great show. I always love listening to you. I got a couple of quick things. I think that the only flounder was an Animal House. So it's definitely going to be a good season for Brock Purdy, I think. Let's see. The other thing was that to all my 49er fans out there, you know, I just feel that half the teams that lost this week won last week. So right. That's the nature of the game. There's only a handful of teams that are 2-0. So, you know, the one that's scary to me, though, is the Saints, because they completely manhandled Dallas, who looked like world beaters last week. So, you know, it just depends on week to week. But I would say the Saints are a little scary, you know. So we'll see how far that goes.
Yeah, Bob, thanks. And you're right. There's only a handful of 2-0 teams. And it's
nine of them.
It's a big handful. It's not the one. Well, sure, 2 weeks in. But, yeah. I mean, it's not the ones you would think. There's the Bills. And there's the Chiefs. And I guess I give it to Houston.
Yep.
But outside of that, it's not the teams that you thought were going to be 2-0. That's for sure. The Vikings, the Saints, the Bucks, the Seahawks. These are not the teams that you thought were going to be 2-0. I'm not going to be scared by the Saints yet. I think it takes a month before you really have an idea of who teams are. So right now you can say, well, they went into Dallas and ripped through Dallas. I don't know that Dallas is actually that good. I really don't. Winning on the road against Cleveland and a bad quarterback, fine. That's fine. But I don't think Dallas is a great team. I don't know what their identity is other than Dak Prescott and CeeDee Lamb. Weirdest offseason of the year. Did nothing in the run game. It looks like they did nothing in the run game. I don't think that's that scary of a football team. But maybe the Saints are phenomenal. I don't know. Can't tell yet. So it's too early to start really, I think, broad brush painting on teams. You can get a decent idea. I do think that the NFC South is actually going to put forth maybe a team or two that can be like playoff interesting this year. I don't think 8-9 is going to win the division again like it has been the last couple of years.
Agreed. The Saints look, pretty fantastic. Fourth most points after two games in NFL history.
Yeah.
And the most points in the last 15 years after two games. Now, is it sustainable? I don't know, but when you watch them play, they've got weapons in a number of different ways, it seems. And, you know, you've got Kamara with four touchdowns on Guru's bench and Rashid Shaheed. I guess I have to start him now on my team because he's a 70-yard touchdown every week.
I have like Derek Carr sitting in a just a bottom of the bench backup spot, and I'm like, should I start playing this guy? He's putting up truckloads of points.
Truckloads.
But we're going to see. Here's what I mean. You're going to get an idea real soon. You want to hear what the Saints are doing the next 3 weeks?
Tell me.
Check this out. So next Sunday, they will host the Philadelphia Eagles.
Okay. On a short week.
On a short week.
Yep.
The week after that, they will go to Atlanta. And the week after that, on Monday Night Football, they will visit Arrowhead Stadium and the Kansas City Chiefs.
Okay, a little outdoor game.
By the way, the week after that, they're going to, and again, on a short week, they'll host the Tampa Bay Bucks. So, like, let's play some of those.
Yeah, it's a proving ground.
Let's get an idea who the New Orleans Saints really are.
Yeah.
Same thing with the 49ers, by the way. Like, I do think this is a bummer, and if you're just joining us, we know McCaffrey's on IR. Debo Samuel now has a calf strain and is going to be out for at least a couple of weeks, says Kyle Shanahan. And we'll play you some more Kyle here in a second. Some of it's Debo-related, some of it's not. It's super interesting. We'll play that for you here in a sec. But, like, there is a piece of me that's like, okay, you know, it's early in the year. I don't think anything's going to fall apart, but, like, let's see it. Let's see it. I do feel like there's a national thirst for what would this group look like without Debo and Christian. There's a thirst for that. So now we're going to find out.
Yeah, and I think that thirst comes from, you know, what's going to happen when he makes the big money.
For
but
sure.
Now we're getting a little bit of an early glimpse with McCaffrey out for the next three at least, and Debo probably out for two, maybe three. I was looking at Dr. Nirav Pandya, our good friend from Cleared to Play and UCSF Medical, and he tweeted out the the calf strain like that, the mean or the rough average of time missed is 3 weeks for an injury like this. So, it, you know, Kyle Shanahan said couple, it might be a few, it might be three. If you're dealing with 3 weeks, what does that mean for the offense? And well, I do think it's a good look at Brock Purdy through all that.
3 weeks or 3 games?
3 games.
Okay.
Or 3 weeks would be...
Well, 3 weeks would, I guess, right? If he's ready to go in 3 weeks, that's only 2 games. Because he would miss 2 weeks, and then on the 3rd week he would play. Like, 3 weeks from yesterday.
Okay. It's a little semantics. Dude, I know
right.
what you're saying.
Like, let's ask Doc. Doc will be on with us tomorrow at 4.
Okay.
So we'll dive into this Debo situation. Okay. A few more things from Kyle Shanahan from his conference call today, and then we'll go back to the phones. So check this out. Do you feel like Brandon Ayuk is only at 85%? Here's Kyle's answer.
No, I think BA looks 100%. I think what he meant is he's playing about 85% of what he usually plays. But just in terms of him running stuff and health, you know, he's 100%. I just think he's getting like 85% of playing time.
Okay, so yeah, is he talking about his level of play or how many plays? But then there's more. Are the 49ers easing Ayuk in, or are opportunities just not there?
No, there was a number of times he had a real good chance to get the ball, and a couple times protections broke down on two of them. One time someone busted a route and just got in the same way, so it covered it up. But he had a chance to get about 4 big passes, and other factors happened. You know, it's a team game. There's 11 guys out there that are involved in getting someone the ball, and he did have some opportunities where he should have, but not everything went right.
I want to throw this into the conversation. You and you can't look at him, it's radio, but you could listen to him. I would love to hear your genuine reaction to something Brock Purdy said when he was asked about Brandon. Like, is Brandon not at full speed? Like, what do you see as the quarterback? So check this answer out.
I think he looks pretty good and stuff, but I don't, you know, I'm drawn back going, BA's not like what he's been like. I don't think that at all. I think for me, I just try to go through my reads, and he's been where he needs to be. And, you know, there's probably a couple routes maybe in certain looks where we both could have been better on some stuff, but that's just like, you know, early in the season stuff, if you ask me. So I know that we'll continue to get better together in our connection and everything. But for 4 quarters, man, I thought BA grinded and, you know, went and competed, man, and I'm proud of him for that.
Okay. Translate.
One, what a good leader he is. Good young leader, Brock Purdy, answering it the correct way, which is, you know, both of us needed to be better on a couple of plays. And I'm hearing him say that, you know, there were spots where Brandon Ayuk could have gotten the ball, but he didn't because he didn't see him or the protection broke down. But he's saying that Ayuk is, you know, where he's supposed to be. I'm watching Brandon Ayuk and I'm not seeing him break open or separate the way I'm used to seeing it. And I watched the game back a second time today, and a lot of it in the second half was protection related. They had almost no time to throw it in the second half, and early on in the first half, looked like Brock was more focused on throwing it to George and Juwan than he was looking Brandon's way.
I just hear in there, like, it's not that he said anything bad, but it's like, it's not what you're hoping for. You know, like for $30 million a year, you're not hoping for, well, no, he's out there grinding and competing. Grinding and competing sounds like the second baseman who hits 238.
Yeah, fair.
That's grinding and competing. Like, right? You want Brandon Ayuk to be physically devastating. You want him to look like Justin Jefferson. And maybe that's too high of a bar. Maybe that's not fair, but not that far off. I mean, how many are paid more than... Then Brandon. There's Justin, there's CD. Is that it? No, AJ, I think. You know what I mean? You want him to be able to physically overwhelm people, and maybe he's just not there yet, and you can either be frustrated about that or not. But yeah, like you can hear, I think, in Brock's voice, yes, that's the right answer for a leader. B, everybody out there made some mistakes, certainly including Brock, so he's not going to toss anyone else under the bus. He's like, we need to be better, but... Like, you hear there, I hear a little hesitation with the idea of just collectively, do Brock and Brandon feel like they are humming like they were midseason last year?
Yeah, of course not.
No, of course they don't. Not.
Yeah.
They don't.
And Brandon right now is 67th in the NFL in catches. He's got 6 catches, tied with Mark Andrews, Brandon Cooks, Gabriel Davis, and a host of other guys not making $30 million a year.
How many targets?
Brandon has had I'm trying to. Oh, right here. He's got 10 targets.
10.
6 catches, including the one last night or yesterday on that final drive that I wasn't sure if it was a catch, but they gave it to him.
Yeah.
Looked like it might have been a little bit of a trap.
He caught it.
Yeah.
And then, no, he didn't trap it, but then it popped out as he was getting up.
Yeah, but he was touched. He was touched down, yeah. So it's a catch.
It was
but
fine.
6 catches, and now the spotlight that's been on Brandon Ayuk, and it's been fairly bright because of the hold in, it gets a whole lot brighter now.
Sure.
Because now the expectation going into Sunday is be the man. We're giving you $30 million a year. You have no Debo. And no McCaffrey. You got an undrafted running back. You've got a Pro Bowl tight end. And you've got Juwan Jennings and
I mean,
some rookies.
Like, that's unavoidable. It's also unfair. Like, be the man. Like, as a wide receiver, all these other things need to happen first before the ball can even be delivered to you.
Yes.
So, that's all I would say. I don't need you to be the man. Just get open. Get open. That's all you can do. The offensive line needs to create time. Brock needs to deliver a ball. He needs to make the right decision. I don't need Brandon Ayuk to go for 150 yards next week. I need him to be open. Like the Niners need him to be open. They need him to play well. So that's all you can ask. But I know that what you're saying is unavoidable. This is the way that people are going to look at it.
Yeah.
For sure.
I wonder if he doesn't get some of the Debo treatment and run the ball. I just was looking, and he does have 13 career rushes on his ledger. So as we're looking at somebody else to run the football.
No thanks.
I don't know.
Not from the backfield. You want to do a jet sweep or something like that, okay. I'm not lining that guy up. His legs are half the size of Debo's.
Give him the rock.
No, no.
Give him the rock.
No,
let's
thanks.
Go.
No thanks.
Well, you're going to have to find some way to run the ball outside of Jordan Mason.
Why?
Because I don't think that 25 or 30 carries a game is sustainable. And
you don't need to sustain it. You need to do it next week.
Yeah, right. And if legs fall off before New England, then so be it.
Legs aren't
going
to fall off. I mean, like, you were the one who said this earlier. Let's not do this to people. 28 carries, that's too much. 20 carries, that's not enough.
That's not enough, right.
All right, so what? Is there like a bell that can go off on his 23rd carry? Okay, that's enough. Thanks for playing. I mean, the game flow is going to determine a lot of things. You know what I mean? Hopefully the Niners are up 31-10 in the fourth quarter and Garendo can just have a whole quarter to himself. And Jordan can have 16 carries. That's what my vote. But what if the game's tied? Well, then we need to get you more carries.
That's right.
Anyway, we're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. All right, where's the worry meter now? No Christian, no Debo, and a loss. Hell of a weekend. 888-957-9570. Also coming up next, Fade the Dibbers. Also coming up next, Brockster's Millions. This is all around the corner on Willard and Dibs.
Second and 11. Blocked by Kittle. Deflected, loose, ricocheted. Metellus has picked it up. On the corner. Breaking tackles.
To Will and Dibby on 95.7 The Game.
All right, I have a development. It could. I mean, we're like sort of one play away from this really being a factor in this weekend's 49er game.
Okay.
Yeah. The suspension has been lifted by Commissioner Roger Goodell. And now, active and available for the Los Angeles Rams, should they choose, is one Jimmy Garoppolo.
Wait, what?
Jimmy Garoppolo has been suspended
for like being not very good.
A violation of the league's Subway sandwich policy.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, yeah. But
Subway sandwich? You mean substance abuse?
The suspension has been lifted, so Jimmy's good to go.
Can he run routes?
So if Nick hits Matt a little too hard, we might get Jimmy versus Brock.
That's a sack-a-rooney, baby.
Couple of sack-a-roonies yesterday for you, Nick.
Could you imagine? Could you imagine if he gets gets into this football game.
Well, you already had Darnold come back to haunt you.
Exactly.
The Jimmy G revenge game. Who else is out there? CJ Beathard is playing somewhere.
Actually, he's not. He's available. And gosh, what team was discussing bringing him in? Who was it that was discussing bringing it? The Dolphins, right. The Dolphins.
Man.
Yeah, but we still don't have, we have no indication whatsoever what, you know, what's going on with Tua, other than that he does not plan to retire. But as far as the length of time that he'll miss, no word on that at all from the Dolphins or doctors or anything.
They also
like that,
signed Tyler Huntley off the Ravens practice squad.
They did. Yeah, which would indicate that he is going to miss some time.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, 888-957-9570 is the number. Where's your worry meter? If you're just joining us after it's been a long day at work for you, guess what? We've got even more bad news. Not only is McCaffrey on IR, not only did the 49ers lose a game to the Minnesota Vikings, but Deebo Samuel.
All right, guys, injuries from the game, just one new one. Deebo ended up having a calf strain. He'll probably miss a couple weeks, and that's it.
There you go. New injury, Deebo Samuel, probably going to miss a couple of weeks with a calf strain. So now we're going to see Brock Purdy in the 49er offense, arguably without its two top weapons.
Yeah, so far they've been the, well, McCaffrey hasn't been a top weapon. He hasn't played, but Deebo has been, along with Jordan Mason, the top weapon. And so, yeah, Jordan Mason sure looked great yesterday in the loss against Minnesota, and you hope that he can continue to do that and stay healthy and be your number one, or really your only ground threat. He was it yesterday. You had one carry from Garendo. Deebo had two carries, although one was a batted lateral that he had to go retrieve, and then Brock had a carry, and that's about it. So, yeah, your running game, if Mason stays healthy, you still feel pretty good about, but the pass game, you got question marks now without Deebo Samuel and with Brandon Ayuk still ramping his way into full form.
Yeah, no, you've got huge questions, no doubt. And the whole thing may lay out perfectly for what so many people wanted to see, which is let's get a little window into Brock Purdy without all the weaponry, which of course will lead to a healthy conversation about Brockster's Millions.
It's time for Brockster's Millions.
You can have $1 million right now and forget the whole thing. Or you can go for the big one, Booster. The $300 million.
Oh, what a dime by Brock Purdy!
Did Brock Purdy's value skyrocket or take a nosedive this week?
But if you fail, you don't get diddly.
Purdy. For the latest Brock Stock Watch, here's Willard and Dibs.
Okay, Dibs. Brock Purdy, stock up or stock down?
Stock down, and not dramatically down. I don't think that it took a nosedive, if I can borrow from the voice guy's quiver. I love that voice that he comes with. It's very dramatic, the quiver, but stock down. And you could look at the numbers, and you'd say, oh, man, 28 of 36 for 319 in the TUD. He had the one pick, but quarterback rating of 101.3.
Yeah.
You look at the numbers, and you think, okay, it's a good game. Then you watch the game, and you realize, well, he also had a fumble, and there were some throws left out there, and not every interception is created equally, and the pick that he did throw was devastating because your defense had just held twice, and you had a chance to, with a drive, get back in the lead. If you scored a touchdown, at the very least, you drive down, give your defense a break, get a field goal, and you hang in the ball game. But that pick led to an immediate touchdown the other way, which created a deficit from which you could not recover.
Yeah, baked into anything that I've ever felt about Brock Purdy is the turnover situation and his ability to limit them and have very few. I think 11 picks all last year, and four of them came in one game.
Right.
That's really kind of incredible. He played 16 games, four picks in one game. Take those other 15 football games, he had a total of 7 picks. That's a pick every 2 weeks, one time. That's really, really good. And when you do that, you're going to win a lot of football games. Yesterday, turned it over twice. I know the Vikings did too. But yeah, that, like, I'll completely agree with you. Stock down, not a good game for Brock Purdy, but also not one that's going to knock anybody sort of off his scent when we talk about where this is headed. Is he going to get a commitment? Is he worth the money? What I think is relevant today is what we're going to see next and what this segment sounds like a week from today when we talk about Brockster's millions, because it's one thing to play without Christian McCaffrey, and I think a very significant one, but to do it without Christian and Deebo Samuel in many ways feels like what a lot of people have been waiting for. Like, okay, let's, you know, you want $60 million. Let's see you run an offense without, I think, the main two people that lead fans down the road of, dude, you're a product of all this stuff around you. I really think it's like, yes, the left tackle's amazing. Yes, great tight end. Sure, Brandon Ayuk's awesome. But I think that Deebo and Christian, because of where they get the ball within the offense, those are the two guys that make people go, dude, Brock is just like, all you just dump it over there, and then these guys are amazing with the ball in their hands after the catch and all that. And that does. It gives him a few long touchdowns a year when he only threw the ball like a yard or two. Happened in Philadelphia last year with Deebo a few times. So I get that. I think those two guys are the main reason people say that about Brock. So let's take a look. Let's take a look at what it looks like without those two and their skill set on the field.
Yeah, and you'll get a chance to see it against a Ram team on Sunday. And if he goes out there and plays well and they win, then the stock will go back up. And this is really, I think, the biggest test that he's had in terms of not having the guys around him. And for Shanahan, I think this is as much on him as it is on Brock Purdy. But you think about who the five eligibles will be for Brock Purdy on any given play, and Juwan's going to play more than usual. Ayuk will probably play almost every snap. Jordan Mason's going to play a ton. You'll have Kittle, and then you'll either have Chris Conley or Saubert or Juszczyk. You're going to have guys who are not used to being targeted or having the football in their hands. So it's going to be up to Brock to make this offense still hum with lesser people around him.
Let's go to GPD, our friend in Hayward on Willard and Dibs. What's up, GPD? What are you doing?
Hey, I just got home. I'm eating some Filipino pancit, which is like noodles and veggies and fish and chicken. Screaming. I love it.
I'm in.
And get ready to go for a walk. Take the kids, walk to the park. This new park that they built by our house, love it too. So I'm not worried. My meter's at about a 5. And yes, we want to see Brock without the weapons. And you know what? This is what it's about, right? This is football. It's going to happen. What was their record last year?
12 and 5.
And they still made it to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I'm not tripping. I think Brock's going to actually pick up his game. He looked at his mistakes. He's going to come back, and he's going to get busy, bro, because this is what you do, right? It's a team effort. Everybody lost that game. I know. I was with you, Mark. I was like, oh, my God. I was cursing. Had to go into the garage and watch the game. You know what I'm saying? The kids couldn't hear me, bro. I was so pissed, but I got over it. I'm just like, you know what? Hey, stock. I got stock. Berkshire Hathaway, Apple. Stock goes up and down, right? But over the long term, I'm at 112% profit on my stock, baby.
I will tell you this. Speaking of stock, GPD, and I'm with you, and we love it when you call, and thank you very much. Yeah, this was a frustrating one, but when you start to, I don't know, do you do this? Do you start to reason with yourself in the middle of games? You start to go, okay, what happens if they don't come back? Like, what's the fallout? How damaging of a loss is this
one? Sure, sure.
So, I mean, we're so early in the year. My answer this time, in about the third quarter yesterday, when they go down 20-7.
Yep.
I'm like, okay, they're probably going to lose this game. What's the fallout? It's like, not much. I didn't know the Deebo thing at that point, obviously. It hadn't even happened yet. But this was on the scale of damaging losses. This one is not that high. This is incredibly recoverable.
It's week two.
Yeah.
And I think about a few years ago, might have been 3 or 4 years ago, when you lost in week two in the Meadowlands, and you lost Jimmy G and Nick Bosa on that terrible turf, and I believe you lost the game as well. That was a lot more damaging because Bosa torn ACL, gone for the year. You lost your quarterback. That felt like a bigger blow. This was just a game that you lost. And honestly, you didn't lose it. They won it, yeah, is the way I look at it. Minnesota gets the credit more than the Niners get the blame. We're doing radio here in San Francisco, so we don't want to give too much credit to Minnesota because we're doing 49er, picking it through from a Niners standpoint. But Minnesota was really good.
They played well.
Their defense was better than your offense, and their offense was mostly better than your defense, and the special teams, don't even get me started. So, yeah, week two, not that big of a deal for me.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app, Twitch and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer.